Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for just another day that you have blessed us and allowed us to see. We thank you, Lord God, for your abundant mercy and your grace that showers upon us each and every day that we rise. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for all the wonderful things that you have done. And in spite of what we have or don't have, we thank you, Lord, that we have the most precious gift that you gave unto the world. We thank you for your Son. And Lord God, as we come before you, I pray that you would meet the needs of your people. Father, touch one by one and name by name. I pray, dear Lord, that you would meet their every need. Lord, deliver the oppressed. Set captives free. Lord God, I pray that you would lift up bowed down heads. I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you would destroy the yoke of the enemy. Lord God, curse the very root of evil. And Lord, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would bring about a mighty deliverance, Lord God, in the souls and hearts and minds of men. Draw your children closer to you. Draw them into the center of your holy will. For Lord, we are living in the last days, and we know that you are soon to come. And I pray, dear Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you would captivate their hearts and minds. Get their attention and let them know that the time is now. Today is the day of salvation and the day that they hear your voice to harden not their heart. Lord God, I pray that you would have your way as we move forward in the word, in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, let all things be done decently and in order. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. And as we say, everybody ought to praise the Lord. Amen. I greet you in love and in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, thanking and praising God just for another day that he has made, another day that he has allowed us to see. Amen. Thanking God, amen, for just being a keeper of his word. Amen. And we ought to praise him, amen, right now because we are still here. And it's just so many people going through many tumultuous things. And some of us, amen, have been untouched. And we can't take that for granted because we don't know what's heading our way. So many floods and extreme heat and tornadoes and hurricanes sweeping through the land. And some are left without homes and a loss of all possessions. The one thing I could say that we should be thankful for is our life. Things can be replaced, but not your life. And I will say this, that depending on where you stand in God right now will determine if you will continue on eternally with him or lose your life because you did not accept him as your Savior. And if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, I pray that you would do it today, please. Amen. Because we are truly living in the end time. And no man knows the day nor the hour that the Son of Man is coming. We've gotten so used to just taking things for granted. And we feel like if I lay down tonight, I'm going to get up in the morning when in fact we're not promised to live to see another day. But sometimes we just kind of feel like we're in control of that. But we don't know when our time is. So I'm just saying all of that to say this. In light of all the tragedies that we're hearing about presently in Hawaii and the extreme heats in Europe, and even, you know, I believe they said it was the hottest summer on record right here in the U.S. and it's going to get worse next year. They're already predicting that. So we know that this earth is going through some changes, and it cannot continue as it is like this forever. But guess what? We can continue forever if we accept Jesus in our hearts. Everything on this planet has an expiration date, but eternal life has no expiration date. And my prayer is that that is something that you would consider and something that would be your aim and your objective before it is too late. God bless you. That is not the word for today, but I just wanted to get that out because somebody needs to know that the Lord is calling on you. He's been trying to reach you for a long time, you know, but you choose to shut him out. You choose to walk in your own way. But there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction, is death. And Satan knows this all too well. That's why he wants to keep you bound in a lifestyle that's taken you nowhere except to hell. But Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So I pray that somebody is listening. Perhaps someone just needed to hear that. And I'm glad I was able to take the time just to get that out. You know, because prophecy is being fulfilled. And we don't know what tomorrow holds for any of us. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and read the scripture on today, of which we will expound upon. And it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. And the scripture reads, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And we're going to speak from the subject, a cause worth fighting for. A cause worth fighting for. In every era, we find instances where men, women, organizations, or groups found reason to rise to an occasion to fight for what they believe to be a worthy cause. In some instances, uprisings has led to wars. And even today, there are still age-old wars that will have no end until the Lord makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. One of the conflicts that we are mostly familiar with is the never-ending contention between Israel and the Palestinian people. It is understood that the Palestinian territories are considered to be the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, and they were at one time occupied by Egypt and Jordan, respectively. Based on historical records, after the 1948 Arab-Israeli War, Egypt and Jordan controlled these regions until 1967. In 1967, there was a war that took place known as the Six-Day War, in which Syria, Egypt, and Jordan joined forces against Israel to fight. And Israel defeated the Arab coalition, which resulted in territorial changes. Israel captured the Golan Heights from Syria, the West Bank from Jordan, and the Gaza Strip, and Sinai Peninsula from Egypt. All these territories are currently controlled by Israel under military occupation. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict is considered to be the world's most enduring conflict of all times. But despite the ongoing violence and the cost of lives, the sentiment is the same on both sides, that this is a cause worth fighting for. If we consider the civil uprising, which led to the destabilization of Syria, the al-Assad family has ruled for decades as an authoritarian government. Bashar al-Assad came into power in the year 2000 after the death of his father, who was in power for 30 years. By 2011, the people grew weary of repression and wanted reform, so the anti-government and pro-democracy protests began. The Syrians had also been experiencing economic instabilities, and with no concrete solution, the people felt that it was just time for a change. Now, here is where I would say that an open dialogue with the citizens that you are governing, or hearing them out, could have been the best approach to simmer emotions. Perhaps if Bashar al-Assad was willing to hear their frustrations and offer a solution, even if temporary, it would have given the people a sign of hope. But instead of Assad listening to the people's concerns, he decided that he would rather fight to stay in power rather than to lose his position. In my opinion, this was not the right approach. I believe that in situations such as this, if world leaders would appeal to reason and just be willing to listen in order to get an understanding as to why their people are dissatisfied with government, again I say, it would de-escalate tension. It is better than pushing people to the limit by pushing them into a corner, telling them to sit down, shut up, and take it. Because when continuous pressure is applied, it is guaranteed that there will be an explosion. It has been reported that in the first 18 months of the Syrian conflict, the loss of 60,000 lives were claimed. By 2019, more than 500,000 have died and 5.6 million displaced. It has been over a decade of war and fighting continuously with no end in sight. Bashar al-Assad still holds power and is still considered to be Syria's legitimate ruler. But one might ask, as the bombings and killings continue, as two-thirds of Syria lies in ruin and deemed inhabitable, was it worth it? But whether it is a pro al-Assad supporter or a rebel fighter, each side believes that what they are fighting for is a worthy cause. The United States also left a mark in history dating back to the 1860s. And it was a civil war that took place that split the nation. By the 1800s, African slave trade had became illegal. The North was in favor of abolishing slavery completely, but the South opposed the mandate because they relied on a 4 million slave workforce for growing and harvesting cotton. Abraham Lincoln, as we know, was against slavery, and when he was elected as president, 11 southern states seceded from the United States and formed a Confederate Union. Thus began the war between the North and the South. It is recorded that an estimated 752,000 to 851,000 soldiers died during the American Civil War. The Confederate Union believed that it was a worthy cause to fight to keep Africans enslaved. But in the end, the North prevailed, and on January 1, 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed into law. Slavery was abolished, and African Americans were liberated, and this, ladies and gentlemen, was for a worthy cause. All that has been said so far was to derive at the same conclusion, that people will fight for what matters to them the most, or fight for causes that they feel most passionate about. While most wars are fought over territory or political freedoms, when it comes to the Christian church, members of the body of Christ should be just as passionate about fighting for the survival of the church establishment. The church had a long, hard journey after the ascension of Christ and had to fight for its survival and for the right to exist. The early church suffered persecutions from the Roman Emperor Caesar Nero, whose violent acts against Christians earned him such titles as the Antichrist of Rome. The church suffered widespread persecutions under Emperor Diocletian, who ordered the destruction of church buildings, the imprisonment of Christians, and the burning of the scriptures. For 7 generations, from the death of the Apostle John to the Edict of Constantine, thousands of Christians were martyred. Many were beheaded, thrown in the arena with wild beasts to be torn asunder, or burned alive at the stake. But in every period in church history, she rose from the ashes because she was founded upon a rock that cannot be moved. Satan has tried relentlessly to destroy the foundation that Jesus laid and the house that he built. But Jesus declared with strong affirmation that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus will not allow his baby to die, and he has been the sustaining force of the church since its birth. The church will not die because Jesus built it upon himself. And what the persecutors of the saints did not understand is that the church is not a building. So destroying a physical place that was designated for worship would not end Christianity. From the theological aspect, the church is a called out ecclesia, which is represented by a body of baptized believers. It is a unified body that is bound together by the Spirit of God, and there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, There is neither male nor female. The Church of Jesus Christ, as demonstrated by the first generation of believers, showed that the church was wherever the Christians were. The community of Christ had no need for a prescribed building to proclaim its faith or reaffirm its bonds. What Nero and Diocletian tried to do was in vain. Their attempt to end Christ's church and put an end to the Christian movement failed. Why? Because you can tear down a building, but you cannot tear down the unshakable faith of a Holy Ghost filled, baptized believer. The saints of old endured much, but they fought the good fight of faith, not forgetting the price that Jesus paid for our liberty. The ultimate prize for believers at the end of their journey is eternal life. But while on this journey, sometimes we are faced with many obstacles and hurdles, or go through many tests and trials. Sometimes it is a fight to keep your mind, a fight to keep holding on. But if your objective is to make it to heaven, it is a fight that is worth, it is a cause that is worth fighting for. In this latter day, so many have fallen by the wayside. There are those whom God has called into ministry that are on the verge of giving up because they cannot handle the pressure. But when you think about the agony of the cross and the suffering that Jesus endured to save wretches undone, when you think about the state that you were in when he found you and how he changed your death sentence and gave you to know that you shall not die but live to declare the works of the Lord, when you consider how we all stood guilty before God, but our cases were dismissed because God accepted the blood of his only begotten Son as a propitiation for our sins so that we can go free. Why give up now? Your ministry, your soul salvation, and the liberty that you have obtained through Jesus Christ our Lord is a cause worth fighting for. For if you return to the rudiments of this world, you stand to lose more than you would gain. So why give up the fight? In this fight, we will encounter temptation. But as the scripture says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them that love him. In this fight, we will encounter persecution. The Bible says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. But if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. We are living in a day and time when some are questioning the relevance of the Bible and its teachings, when in fact the Word of God is the only thing that is relevant. The world is full of intellects, philosophers, scholars, and highly opinionated people. But do not allow anybody to talk you out of your core principles and what you believe. The Apostle Paul admonished Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Those who will get to heaven must fight their way through conflict, corruption, temptations, and the opposition from the powers of darkness, but it is a cause worth fighting for. In conclusion, if you consider governmental politics, there's always infighting between parties over laws or policies that one party is for and the other party is against. And some representatives go through great lengths to ensure that the pendulum swings their way in a matter of speaking. I think about how much time and energy that people are willing to invest in a cause that has nothing to do with their soul salvation. Some are willing to fight for things pertaining to earthly matters, but give little to no thought concerning spiritual matters. It comes down to one thing that was previously mentioned, and that is passion. What is your passion? People will fight for what they are passionate about. As people of God, our passion should be all things pertaining to promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we must fight to keep the message of the cross alive. And just as the church of yesterday fought for the church of today through prayer, we must fight for the ones that are coming up behind us. It is our job to fight for our seed and for our seed seed and those who are far off. The greatest battles are won through prayer in the spirit. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The world is in crisis, and most of our time and energy should be spent in prayer. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were called when you made your confession in the presence of many witnesses. You said, I'm going to stay with Jesus. You made a vow to the Lord, so don't take it back. You just cannot give up now, because this is a fight that we must continue to fight, because it is a cause that is worth fighting for. Amen, amen, and amen.